You're listening to Innovating Infrastructure, where we showcase new and emerging technology-based solutions to the world's infrastructure challenges. I'm Monica Bennett, and I'll be your host for this 10-part series, which is presented to you by the Global Infrastructure Hub. Each podcast episode will be a 25-minute interview with emerging entrepreneurs from the top 10 finalists of our InfraChallenge Innovation Competition. InfraChallenge gives startups and innovators the opportunity to present their technology-based solutions to the world. This year, it's being supported by the Italian G20 presidency, and the competition is focused on solutions for better and more resilient infrastructure. Don't miss our virtual InfraChallenge final event on Thursday, the 16th of September. You can find out more and register on our website at gihub.org. Join me for innovating infrastructure and discover technology solutions that are transforming infrastructure for the better. Today, to talk about an emerging solution to make roads more circular and sustainable, I'm very pleased to welcome Nicolas Miravals, the CEO of Aurus and one of the top 10 finalists of InfraChallenge 2021. As the world approaches a critical stage in the climate transition, there's a rapidly growing need to make infrastructure more sustainable and circular. A recent study indicates that the 1.5-degree Paris Agreement target can only be achieved by combining renewables and energy efficiency with other approaches such as a circular economy. As infrastructure consumes more than half of the world's materials, and specifically with roads being one of the largest areas for investment in infrastructure, building more circular roads can play a role in achieving the climate transition. Our guest today, Nicolas from Aurus, will talk about his digital platform to optimize the sustainability of road infrastructure. Now, let's get into the interview. Enjoy! I have with me today Nicolas Miravals, the CEO of Aurus, which is a spin-out from the multinational materials company Holcim. Nicolas is here to talk about a digital platform to optimize the sustainability of road infrastructure. Nicolas, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica. Happy to be here.
So sustainable infrastructure and specifically circular economy is a focus of the Hub and the G20 this year. And so I was actually really excited to see your technology come through the top 10 on InfraChallenge. Can you tell us a little bit more about your technology and how it can optimize infrastructure to not only reduce the costs and carbon emissions, but also to make it more circular?
So the road sector is a 500 billion investment per year. So that's a fairly big investment, recurring year over year. And this investment is very local and it's rarely optimized. When I say that, it's just because of the process itself, which is quite long and not very digitized. Road construction is responsible for around 30% of material consumption in the world. So that's a big, big part to start with. And if we really want to optimize materials, conscious of our consumption, consider natural resources, this is the right place to start. In addition to optimizing the structures, optimizing the materials, considering local sources, Aurus enables to have predictive approach on some parameters. And that's the purpose of this resilience module, where we can also integrate into Aurus some extreme climate event, some data on the general behavior of climate, of the weather, of the conditions, of the floods, of the water. And this is to be all taken into account into the calculations.
So you mentioned that the market is around $500 billion a year in terms of road upgrades and maintenance and the construction of new roads as well. What kind of impact can your technology have in terms of savings and efficiency on that kind of level of investment per year?
Yeah. So what we have recorded so far is in terms of cost that we can optimize the cost of those infrastructure by, in average, of course, 10 to 15%, which is a massive number when it comes to such big investments. 10 to 15% due to what? That's the question. How do we do that? There is no magic here. It's just because considering the right local materials, considering the right sources of construction materials, considering the right pavement design, which is quite complex in terms of knowledge. And this pavement design things is not a very common knowledge. In each country, you will find a few experts only. And we have digitized all that. So in front of any project, we are definitely targeting the best design, right?
So you just mentioned a 10 to 15% savings on that $500 billion a year, which is obviously substantial. That's, you know, $50 to $70 billion a year in terms of savings across roads globally. That's obviously not the only kind of benefit that you can derive from your technology. There's also the savings that you would have on carbon emissions by saving on that material consumption as well. What kind of efficiency and savings in terms of carbon emissions can you potentially create?
Regarding the carbon emission, most of the carbon emission of a road is driven by materials that we use. That's very clear. And studies goes to 85% of the embedded carbon of a road due to materials, logistic and placement of those materials. So we have to be very cautious with that. And we need to calculate in advance what would be the scenario, the ideal scenario, which materials, which layers, which distances we need to apply. So we make the right choices. And those choices are adding up to 50% carbon reduction. So, of course, it's not automatic and you cannot claim that you will have 50% reduction on all roads. But this is really proven by some universities and some research papers. And we just record it every day. There is potential for carbon optimization, which is absolutely massive. And this doesn't go against the cost. And that's the good news. It's not because we reduce the carbon that we have a higher cost. Those things are decorrelated. And the opposite, neither. So they are just decorrelated. And we need a tool to tell us, okay, this structure is good in carbon cost. This one is just good in carbon. This one is just good in cost. And then you make your choice. And we add parameters like this with ORIS. We have cost, carbon. We have natural resources and circular economy consumption. And we have the durability / resilience module, which is something that we need to look at as well. So doing that, we have all those four dimensions together in front of the decision makers to go the right direction.
There is obviously quite a substantial opportunity to reduce the embodied carbon in infrastructure. Why have you decided to focus on roads at this particular point in time?
That's certainly due to some personal history, because I've spent my career in roads and I've been facing some material issues, some material scarcity, some quality concerns and things like that. And then after joining the Holcim group, then I've seen the potential of those material industry to resolve that problem and to resolve this road ecosystem problem. So that's a part of it. And the second part of it, as I said earlier, is really that the road itself, the road sector is consuming so much materials. I mean, 25 to 30% in some countries of the construction materials are just going into roads. So if we want to optimize something in materials and be reasonable and responsible in material consumption, road is the right sector to start with.
And how do you define a sustainable road? So what parameters are you actually tweaking in terms of the design of a road to improve performance in this particular area?
You know, traditionally, this sector is very conventional, as we said already. And the pavement design expertise is just based on mechanical performance. So mechanical performance means we look at the traffic expectation, we look at the service life expectation, and we look at the soil condition. Then with these technical and mechanical parameters, we do the pavement design. And there are many pavement designs fulfilling those specifications. What we bring now on top of that is to not to look only at mechanical performance, but also to look at the carbon and environmental performance, and to look at the circular economy performance, and to look at the cost prediction performance, which is a fairly big difference. To give an example, where traditional methods will consider two or three designs for the designers and the road authority to choose. With ORIS, you may have hundreds, sometimes thousands of different options, different designs to look at. And we are developing further what we call a generative design tool, part of ORIS, just to consider all the options for a given country, considering integrating, obviously, the local regulations, the local pavement catalogs, the local rules for pavement design. So we are not taking it from one country to another. We are really sticking to the country rules, considering all the options and opening really the range of possibilities.
Yeah, so one of the projects that we've been working on here at the Hub is something that's called transformative infrastructure. We've actually been looking at where G20 governments have been planning to invest as a result of COVID. And actually, road investment is one of the larger investment areas, obviously, because of its potential to be able to boost the economy within a very short space of time. And the idea of transformative infrastructure is to have, you know, kind of this core infrastructure and then adding on positive externalities on top of that. And I can see that your technology is able to provide that level of upgrade to go from rather conventional traditional infrastructure investment to a transformative infrastructure investment, which is really cool and exciting from my perspective. And I'm sure from others at the hub, you know, that might be listening to this. Are you working with any G20 governments at the moment? So what stage of development are you at with respect to commercialization?
We are taking it step by step. We are at the moment working with about 10 countries, not all from G20, of course, but about 10 countries. So we start usually internally, then we go outside with some design firms, with some road authorities. Now we are stepping up with development banks. And that's a big step for us because the higher we go with ORIS in terms of predicting the best solution, the more impact we have. Definitely, if we go at the road authorities, if we go at the financials level, this is where we have the most impact. Because from a very preliminary design, we close some doors already. Just having said preliminary design, which is not the right one, we will go the wrong way. With ORIS, we try to go the right way from the start. And this right way is at the very, very initial level. So we are working with those about 10 countries at different levels. So development banks are important for us because the highest we go in the value chain and at the very start of the project, the most impact we can get. And improving even preliminary design will have massive impact on the project to put the project in the right directions from start. And right direction means the right pavement, the right solutions, the right materials. And we are not pointing at any materials here specifically, any supplier. We are just pointing at the right pavement design. And then the process itself stays exactly as it is. There is classical procurement process. There is a classical award process and everything works as it works today, but more efficiently with the right perspective from the start. In terms of commercial targets, definitely we count on some changes in the regulations because this regulation is very static and we need really to have decision makers more and more taking responsibilities on the final product, not just on financing it, not just on launching new programs, but really on making sure that this programs will be performing in terms of environmental impact, social impact. We have a few ideas also on social impact. We are integrating some safety modules soon. So our concept is just to have with ORIS a full holistic understanding of the road before it goes and then let everyone play its role, of course, fully, because we are not replacing anyone here. We are guiding and we are supporting. So having the road authorities, having the development banks, having the financiers of those infrastructure programs, looking at those parameters from the start, circular economy, carbon emission, cost predictions, safety analysis, durability and resilience, according to so many data that we can process already, this is already a big move. And that's what we expect from the government and from the road authorities, really to move into that direction and use the tools and use the solutions at the hand already.
So ORIS obviously has the benefit of wholesome support and innovation sandbox and reach globally. What are you hoping to achieve through the Infra Challenge Innovation Competition?
That's a very good question because precisely with the Infra Challenge, we would like to reach out to the G20 because reaching out to G20 would mean instantly a very big impact on how we build roads. And as we said, road is a massive sector everywhere, every year, all the time. And if we fix that or if we contribute to fix that, having global reach like this, Holcim is the first global reach. Our innovation and our capacity to launch new services and new solutions is very important with regard to materials and management and materials control, all the technologies behind. But we need the regulation part. And we expect from this G20 infrastructure hub really to help us in this regulation part.
And you also mentioned in your pitch documents that you're potentially also going to be developing a new component to the software, which is looking at a road from a resilience perspective as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How will that potentially work?
Sure. Yes, as I mentioned earlier, the resilience part growth is linked to what we have called durability so far. So durability is a very traditional approach to how long the road will perform and what are the expected life cycle that we have from this road. Resilience is slightly different because resilience will consider now extreme climate events that may happen. We will also consider some data in terms of weather conditions of the particular area where the road is. The rain peaks, what are the floods, what are the dry periods, and how do those periods and events affect the mechanical performance of the road. The models are all there, and we can estimate, predict, calculate those things. It's just, again, a matter of gathering all that into one single place, because you don't want your resilience to be competing with your cost, and you don't want your resilience to be competing with your carbon emission. We have multi-parameters, and we need to consider those parameters together. Otherwise, we are not progressing a lot, because you understand, obviously, that having the most resilient road is something we can do tomorrow, no problem. Having a road that resists anything all the time for 100 years, we can build it. We know how to do that. But do we want this road at decent cost? How do we want this road emitting so much carbon that it's contradicting all other criteria and parameters? Of course not. So we need to have dashboards and holistic views so that the decision makers, the financiers, I'm really also insisting on those financiers, because this is where we can make smart infrastructure, we can use smartly the money, and we can have global understanding of what we built. The resilience part, technologically speaking, will be very interesting. And I guess that will be something integrating very well into the four parameters that we already have. And we are looking forward to develop it.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And you also mentioned that Aurus is in the technology readiness level of between 6 to 7, which if you have, say, a TRL of 9 as being a commercially ready product, you're actually right in the valley of death when it comes to technology development. So what is the biggest challenge facing you right now?
I think right now we have two challenges in front of us. The first one is to scale up and to be present in more countries with more data from each country. We are doing every day with multiple data integration and multiple pavement catalog integration. Second challenge is really to have the traction and the support from decision-making road authorities and road investment financiers, because this is where we have the most impact. And thirdly, we will keep innovating and we will keep adding to this multi-parameters, multi-criteria road investment as many as we can, as long as it makes sense, of course, not to over-complexify, but definitely road is a complex sector with multi-criteria, and we need to integrate them all together so that they're not competing one another, they are just supporting one another.
I understand that Aurus was born out of a hackathon. Was that Holcim hackathon? Can you tell us a little bit more about how the initiative started?
Yeah, sure. That was the first hackathon in Holcim. It was 5 years ago already. And we had this in mind, that we can select better the pavement solutions according to the real environment. There is one thing which is very, very specific to road and infrastructure at large, but particularly with road, is that each road is unique. So each road has its own set of traffic, soil conditions, geolocation, materials, capacity. So each road is definitely unique. Saying that, we wanted with this hackathon to start to fix the best solution for each road. And that was a 2-day experience that we did in our research center in France, in Lyon, where we have a lot of great researchers and great knowledge. And we invited 3 technology companies to build the first block of Aurus. So that was a very early proof of concept at that time. But from this, we realized very quick that this could not stay in the lab, and this could not stay at the innovation level. It had to go live, and that could render a great service to the communities and to the investors. Slowly from that hackathon, we started to move up. And from this proof of concept, we made the platform that we have today.
So you've been involved in InfraChallenge since March. And since then, you've been allocated a mentor, you've participated in a number of webinars with industry experts, and you're now in the top 10 shortlist, which is very exciting. Can you tell us what you feel has been the most valuable part of that journey through InfraChallenge?
We are very excited now with this top 10 position now. So the mentoring period we had was with John Gustafson from Stantec, and John really helped us a lot. And the mentoring was great to fine tune our pitch and also to confirm our professional interest of this sector, because our approach solve problems that are looked at the very moment now by so many people. So John was really positive about it. And on top of being our mentor, the feedback we got from John was for us another market fit, because we had the chance to confront our views and our ideas and concept to a large engineering firm exposed to that every day. And that was really encouraging for us, because definitely this is something that no one is doing at the moment. And this is something that probably everyone would like to do. So we would like to have a great experience. And the mentoring period was very fluid. The discussions were always very open. And it was a great time. We had good time and good fun meeting up every week for the period.
That's great. And so we wish you all the best of luck with the Infra Challenge competition. So thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. We will look forward to seeing how you progress through commercialization and through the innovation competition as well.
Thank you very much, Monica. Thank you for having me. And thank you to the GI Hub for this great organization. It's fascinating to have so many opportunities.
Find out more about this technology and other top 10 finalists of InfraChallenge 2021 at infrachallenge.gihub.org. Also, don't miss the virtual InfraChallenge final event on Thursday, the 16th of September. Join us and watch the top 10 make their final pitch to become the InfraChallenge 2021 winner. Register to attend at gihub.org. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Monica Bennett from the Global Infrastructure Hub, and you've been listening to Innovating Infrastructure.